and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And the joy we share as we tarry,
thank you for that special. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8 tonight. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. And as you find that, if you stand to your feet as you're able, Deuteronomy chapter number 8 and beginning in verse number 1. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and beginning in verse number 1, please. And we'll read down to verse number 3. Deuteronomy 8 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee and to know that what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you bless the service tonight. Lord, help us, Lord, from the word of God and speak to our hearts. And Lord, I know that there's needs that we must have met. There's problems, there's answers to prayer, there's struggles in life. And Lord, I pray that you would help, Lord. You have all the answers from the Word of God, and you can solve every problem that we have. And you're bigger than all the problems. And so we come to you and ask for your help tonight. Speak to us through your Word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In Deuteronomy chapter number 8, we see the passage here that Jesus quoted when he was being tempted in the wilderness after his baptism. He was led of the Spirit to the wilderness and fasted for 40 days afterward, hungered, and the devil came and tempted Jesus. And he tempted him first to turn the stones into bread. Now, Jesus is 100% man and 100% God, but the 100% man part of him was pretty hungry after 40 days of not eating, and the devil tempted him first with turning the stone to bread. I don't know about you, but if I hadn't eaten for 40 days, I'd be hallucinating. I'd be imagining things. Everything that moved would look like food. And you get hungry enough, a lot of things you would not eat, that would change after that number of days. And things that you didn't think were appetizing before would all of a sudden look very appetizing. And the devil came and tempted him and tempted him to turn the stones into bread. And Jesus Christ responded in Matthew 4:4. Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." He was quoting back from Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Every time the devil tempted Jesus, he responded with the word of God. And that's a great tool for us to use when the devil comes. And if the devil is foolish enough to tempt Satan, if the devil is bold enough to tempt Jesus, he'll tempt you and I as well. If he'll come to Jesus and he knows when to tempt and where to tempt and he knows exactly what he's doing, the wiles of the devil. And Jesus Christ again responded, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." God was commanding the Israelites here, and he says, "All the commandments in Deuteronomy 8 that I've commanded thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply, possess the land that the Lord swear unto your fathers." Remember that God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, out of bondage, and wanted them to go direct route, straight to the promised land. No detours, no stops, just going right there. But they failed, and that changed not God's plan for their life, but that changed them in God's plan. And they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And in verse number 2, it says here, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness." Why did God lead them? To humble them. To prove thee. It says to humble thee, to prove thee, and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep this commandment or no. Said, I needed to prove you for 40 years here in the wilderness. And the young ones would not enter the promised land, and those older would. And he tells them here in verse number 3, he humbled them and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knew not. They're like, what is this food, this manna that came from heaven? And they had this food. He says, thou knewest it not, neither did your fathers know. They didn't know what it was, but it was food that God provided from heaven. And it says that he may make thee to know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord thy God, out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And God is challenging them here with this thought that they're looking for daily provision, daily food. They're looking for a man, a bread coming from heaven that God provided for them. And he said, I want to humble you. I want to prove you and see if you'll obey that which I command you to do. But he wanted to remind them that man could not live by bread alone. He says it's looking for the daily satisfaction and nourishment that we need. But he says, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. I want to challenge you tonight about this subject about living on the Word of God. Living on the Word of God. I don't know about you, but if I don't eat for a day, I'm going to notice. My wife's going to notice. My children are going to notice. Everyone that I at church, they're going to know I have not eaten for a day because I'm going to be hungry. And when you get hungry, sometimes you get hangry. And you're maybe not so pleasant. And things are a little bit more irritable. And if you go without food for a day, your body is going to know. You go out without food for a couple of days or longer, and you're giving up that daily nourishment that your body needs, and your body is going to suffer from that. And you would know. You wouldn't forget and think, oh, I haven't eaten for a few days. It just passed my mind. But how many times do we pass by the Word of God? How many times do we go on our day and leave the Word of God alone? Say, I've got my daily food. I've got my bread. I have my daily nourishment that I have for each meal. But then you leave the Word of God, and we feel as we can continue on our basic nourishment, but we leave beside this spiritual nourishment that we need every day for our soul. How many times as a Christian do we go about our day and we perform all the duties of going to work and caring for your family and your ministry duties and all the things, but we leave aside the precious Word of God, the bread of life that we need nourishment for our soul every day. The Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. The Bible uses the analogy of bread here. Basic food and nourishment that is probably a part of your meal in some form every day. Some sort of bread or tortillas. Gonna get a witness on the tortillas, all right? And you get some form of bread in your meal. So, you know, sometimes the bread is just what brings it together. I know the carbs and all that stuff, but it's good though, all right? And how many times do we need and we dismiss the nourishment from God's Word, but we feed our bodies, but we're not feeding our souls? You wouldn't go days without food and not notice or care or think, well, I'm doing just as good as I was the day before. You get weaker and weaker. Same thing with our nourishment. The Word of God is given an analogy in many different ways. One of them is to food. Another is to water. Another is to milk or to a lamp or to a fire or for a hammer or different things in the Word of God that God relates the Word of God to in our life, that we need God's Word in our life as much as we do for any meal that will nourish our body. We need the Word of God and our time with God every day to nourish our day in our life. The Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, that earthly provision. How many times are we satisfied with the daily things of life? As long as I get my physical needs met, I don't need God. How many times do we rely on our flesh and on our own strength and on my own wisdom? And I say, I don't need God because I have all the earthly things that I need to get on through the day, but I didn't take time for God. I have all the strength and the knowledge and the wisdom, and I know the schedule, I know what to do, but we leave aside the Word of God because basically what we're saying is, God, I don't need you today. I don't need you today. I can do it on my own today. I'm too busy for you, God. Could you imagine saying that to God? God, I'm too busy to talk to you today. We wouldn't say it, but how many times do we do that? How many times do we say, God, I have so many things going on. I can't fit you in my schedule. If we're too busy for God, then we're just too busy. I don't know about you, but I find time to get a meal, even if it's a grab and go, and you get something to shove in your mouth and keep going, and you find something to nourish your body. But how many times do we leave aside the spiritual that we need to feed on our soul and our spirit every single day? Man cannot live by bread alone. In other words, without the Word of God in your life, you cannot survive. You cannot live. You don't eat long enough, your body literally will die. It'll start shutting down. There'll be nothing left, and eventually you will pass. But then spiritually speaking, the same thing. How many today have not spent time in God's Word today, or this past week, or for a month, or for longer, and our body is literally starving. Our soul is starving spiritually. Our spirit is starving for the Word of God, and we're fasting and we're hungering and depriving for our spiritual needs because we say, I don't need the Word of God today. How foolish would that be? Man cannot live by bread alone, and many times we survive on the earthly things to keep us going. How many people today, I know I'm going to harp on those because I don't do it. If it wasn't, you know what I'm already thinking about, don't you? Couldn't survive without your coffee. They have the sayings, you know, Jesus and coffee, like you can't survive with either of those, right? For some, if it wasn't for the coffee or the energy drinks or the soda or the chocolate, everyone has their thing, right? Before you look down on others, everyone has their thing. I need that to keep going. I need it. And there's some people I think, I don't know, but you're going to die from energy drinks or coffee eventually because that's all I see in your hands, all right? How many times do we carry our Bibles around and say, I can't make it without the Bible? I can't make it this hour without the Bible. I can't make it through this afternoon without the Word of God. I need it. I need Thee every hour. And He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I am His own. How many times do we carry our Bible around and say, I'm getting tired, so I need the Word of God for a pick-me-up this afternoon? But we get the physical things of life, and I just got to talk to someone or look at something or get re-energized in some way, and I can power through. But what about the Word of God? Man shall not live by bread alone, the earthly provisions that keep us going physically. But what about your spirit? The Bible says, but by every word. Look at that. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. But by every word of God. May we, I'm thankful that we have an every word of God Bible. Amen? Every word of God is pure. Every single one. And if one of them is not pure, then which one is it? And if this isn't the perfect inspired word of God, then which one is it? I don't know anyone that has a perverted word of God that says, I believe that this is the inspired, preserved Word of God in the English-speaking language. You'll not find them saying that because there's always a better translation, isn't there? They're always evolving, looking for a new Word of God. But the Bible says that every Word of God, to live on every Word. See, I need every Word of God in my life. Every book, every chapter, every part of the Word of God I need in my life. It's not like I need some and I don't need others. I need every Word of God in my life, don't you? Every word that God wrote in the Bible, He wrote to me. He wrote to me. He wrote it for you. That God's word was given, that God put every single word in here that He wanted for you to read and to know. And it's an every word of God Bible. Every single word, the Bible says, that proceedeth from the mouth of the Lord doth man live. That we're reading the very words of God. Do you believe that? Do you believe the Bible that you're holding in your hand is the very words of God that God wrote, not man, that God wrote and He gave to man and promised to preserve, protect it from this generation, the Bible says, forever, that it came from God. Came from God. There's certain people, if they called you, you'd stop everything you were doing and you'd pick up that phone to talk to them, wouldn't you? You'd stop whatever. If they're calling, I'm listening. If they need me, I'm stopping. But what about the voice of God? What about when God speaks? How many times do we truly take the Word of God for granted? We do. We take the Word of God for granted, that we have the Word of God in our language. You realize how many languages and nations in this world have 0% of the Word of God in their language? Zero. How many people have never heard the name of Jesus, but we take the Word of God for granted today? Many people own 5, 6, 8, 10 Bibles in their homes, and it's just collecting dust on a shelf, or maybe it's just for looks, but do we live on the Word of God as we do for a meal that we need every day to sustain us? Do you live on the very Word and the voice of God? The Word of God. I want to give you a few practical points today. I want just to challenge you about your time with God. There's a few things in life that it seems like you've got to hit the reset button every once in a while and come to God and say, God, how are we doing? And when it comes to your time with God, it is essential for victory and blessing in your life, and without it, you're going to have failure. Man cannot live by bread alone. You cannot survive without the Word of God for long. You do it long enough and you're going to fail. It's just a matter of time. You say, well, I've survived this long. It's a matter of time before Satan takes you down and you fall to sin when you don't put the Word of God in your life. I want to challenge you about a few things tonight is this. Number one, dedicate time daily to God's Word. Very simple, not going to break any special ground tonight, but I want to challenge you from the youngest person to the oldest person in this room to dedicate time daily to God's Word. To live on the Word of God. To live. Not just take a few moments or a bit of time and to set it aside, but to live on the Word of God. If you did not have your Bible time tomorrow, would it throw your day off? Would it mess up your day, or would it be just another day for you? Dedicate time daily to God's Word. You make time for the things that are important to you, don't you? You make time for it. Do you show up to work if you feel like it? If tomorrow you said, boss, I just wasn't feeling it today. I didn't feel like showing up, and I just, you know, I thought I could skip today, you know, and maybe a few more days, and maybe I'll get back to you next week or next month, and we'll see if I make some time for you for my job tomorrow, next week, or next month, and we'll see how it goes. And they're going to say, goodbye, it was nice knowing you, we'll put someone else in your place. But again, how many times do we treat God, if we treated God the same way we did our boss, our job, our response, our hobbies, and we dedicated, and we put time and effort into it as we would a job or a hobby or an interest that we put into our time with God every day and dedicated it. Many people wouldn't show up a minute late to work but wouldn't have a problem missing their time with God. Wouldn't have a problem missing the Word of God, but wouldn't miss a hobby or an interest in the day. We must dedicate ourselves to the Word of God. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 17 that the people in Thessalonica, they received the Word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. They searched the Scriptures. We have a generation of Christians today that truly don't know their Bibles. People that are tossed about by every wind of doctrine today because they simply don't know the Word of God that God wrote for you. Searching the Scriptures daily, dedicating time every single day toward the Word of God. Revelation 1:3 says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. That we would that we would read and hear the words of the prophecy and keep them. Are you doing that, Christian? Are you daily in the Word of God searching the Scriptures for God to speak to your heart? Are you dedicated to your time with God? Are you dedicated as any athlete or entertainer or any CEO is to their craft or business or whatever it may be? Are you dedicated that much to the Word of God? It's sad that many people are more dedicated to their faith than sometimes Bible-believing Christians are. Think about that for a minute. People that'll go spend years on missions, they'll crawl up steps and pray all the religious things and not even saved, not even going to heaven. But as a child of God, as a Bible-believing Christian, how many times do we set aside the Bible and we think, well, I'm saved and going to heaven, and we just kind of ho-hum our way through our Christian life? May we be dedicated in our Christian life. 1 Timothy 4:13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, to give attendance to the Word of God. If you truly were to take a Bible reading schedule of some sort, whether it be electronically or on paper, and you tracked your reading every day for a week or a month or a year, how are you doing? How are you doing with your time with God? Are you dedicated? Or would God say, we're missing it and we need to step it up? Dedicate time daily to God's Word. Number two, eliminate distractions that steal your attention. We live in a day where there are more distractions than ever. We live in a society that there's always something shining and sparkling and flashing, and technology is always advancing. And it's dumbing down society. It's dumbing down society. I read a couple of reports. I don't know which one is true, but here's the one I'll read. The average human attention span, it says here, I don't know where they get this from, but here's what I read. The average human attention span is 8.25 seconds. 8.25 seconds. The average human attention span decreased by nearly 25%. From 2000 to 2015, 25% attention span. We cannot stay focused on one thing at a time. And funny enough, a goldfish has an attention span of 9 seconds. They say that goldfish have a low attention span, and now it's humans would seem have a shorter attention span than a goldfish does. We have a goldfish, Brother and Mrs. Smith, that you gave our children at the trunk or treat. Is it going on 3 years now? Going on 3 years. We were taking bets that thing would not last to the weekend or the next week or the month, and we all lost. We leave and we don't feed it. And it survives somehow. It's crazy. It's a stubborn fish and it's staying with us for the length of time. It's not dying. It's staying there. And our daughters have affectionately named it Tree. Don't know how a fish is named Tree, but that's the name of the fish. And it's not gold, it's silver of some sort. Anyway, going back to the attention span. Hey, there we go. We are such a distracted society that the devil is constantly putting something in your way and in your face. He doesn't have to get you to do something evil. He just has to get you distracted. He just has to get you off from what God would have you to do. It doesn't have to be anything wrong, just not God's will. Look another direction, go another way, get distracted. You ever sit down and read your Bible? And man, you're ready. It's a beautiful, cool morning. You're sitting on the back porch or on your couch or your chair, or your bed, wherever it is. And you think, man, I'm ready to have my time with God. And the phone starts dinging and the kids start yelling for something from the front. And it seems like all chaos breaks loose. And you're like, Lord, I just need a few minutes with you. And then other times it's perfectly quiet and you couldn't focus for 8 seconds if your life depended on it, because your mind is wandering to everything going on in the day, right? You do that? Lord, I need to spend some time. Lord, man, I can't focus right now. Help me. Eliminate distractions that steal your attention. You know it's coming. Turn your phone off. I know you might need to bring the paddles to resuscitate your body afterwards because the phone went off for a number of minutes. Turn it off, silence it, airplane mode, whatever you got to do, silence it, put it away so God can have your full attention. Doesn't God deserve our attention? Does the God of heaven that gives you His attention and His time, does He deserve our attention as well? Yes, He does. And may we set aside the distractions to turn off everything, to say, hey, everyone, give me a few moments. Don't bother me. Sometimes announcing that is like asking for trouble, though. And you say, don't bother me for a few minutes. You're going to get bothered after that. To get to a quiet place and say, I need to get alone with God. What or who is more important than God? Can you name anything? What or who is more important than your time alone with God? Spending time in Bible and prayer and say, God, I just need some time alone with you. Eliminate distractions that steal your attention. Number three, search for one truth to help you. Search for one truth to help you. Maybe tomorrow you get in one chapter of your Bible reading. Find a truth in that chapter that God can help you to get through that day. Don't skim through the passage and think I'm going to get through it and check it off and say, I'm done with my time with God. I'll get to you tomorrow, God. But say, God, would you give me something that I need for today? I can't tell you how many times I've read something from the Word of God or I've studied and taught something and God had something in there for me that I had no idea what I was facing that day and I needed that verse, that truth, that passage that I needed for that day. Search for something that, guess, you believe that the Word of God is alive, that it's real, it's the truth, it's the living Word of God, and God wants to speak to your heart, and He wants to help you. I want to challenge you to look for something in the Word of God and say, God, would you point me to something, that a truth that I need for today? Something that I need for today. Sometimes you're reading through the begats, is what I call it, the genealogy, and you think, God, I know there's something in there that can help me today, but I don't know what it is. And I could read it a few times, but Lord, help me. Look for something from the Word of God that can help you for today. You know what can help you with your Bible reading? Slow down. We live in such a fast-paced society. Even fast food drives me crazy because it's not fast enough, right? What are they doing? They're heating up a burger, throwing it between a bun. It's probably not even going to be hot when I get it. And you get the food and you think, it's gross and I paid for it, but I need something to eat. And we're bothered by spending a couple minutes doing anything because we have such a fast-paced society, don't we? Take some time to get your Bible and slow down. Slow down. You ever been reading through your Bible reading and you got stopped on a verse and you couldn't get any further because God just caught your heart and your attention on that truth and you read the verse or the chapter over and over and over again because God is speaking to your heart? Search for one truth every day to help you. Slow down. Think about what you're reading. Think about it. I don't know about you, but I can be doing one thing and think about something completely different on the other side of the planet. Get your mind and your heart focused on your time with God because God's focus is on you. Listen to God. Ask. You say, God, I'm not understanding. Ask God to reveal His Word to you. Pray and say, God, would you please show me what I need today? Would you speak to my heart, please? Help me to give me understanding. Challenge me from the Word of God. Search for one truth to help you. And then number four and lastly this evening, apply God's Word to your life. Amen? To take the Word of God that you read and to take it and to put it into practice. Too many times we take the Word of God and we put it up here, but it never comes out here, and it never comes out here or out here. Take the Word of God and put it into practice in your life. Apply the Word of God that you just read. The Bible says in James 1:22, but be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. How many times are we hearing the Word of God, but we're not doing it? You're taking the time to read the Bible, sit under the preaching, but we're not actually putting into practice. What good is it doing if we're not putting into practice, Christian? What good is it doing if we're not applying the Word of God? This is the truth, right? Amen. Do we believe the Word of God tonight? I don't think you'd be here on a Sunday night if you didn't believe it. But do we believe it enough to put into practice? True faith is followed by obedience. Amen? True faith is followed by obedience. If you believe the word of God that you just read, you'd put it into practice. But many times we think, I believe it, but not enough to actually do it. That's not faith. And that truly is not obedience. Luke 11, 28 says, but he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. They that hear the word of God and keep it. Why? Because God wants you to be a doer, not just a hearer. Put into practice. And put into practice. You say, but I failed last time. We'll try again. Amen? I failed last time. We'll try again. And work at it again. God, speak to my heart and help me applying God's word to your life every single day. Many today are running spiritually on empty. You know, you ever get in your car and you go, whoa, I did not realize we were almost out of gas. You ever do that? And for some reason in our van, it seems like it sneaks up on me. And all of a sudden, we're like redlining it. And I think, whoa, what happened? And I've got to find a gas station quick. But how many times in our lives do we run spiritually on empty? We're running on fumes and we think, I can get a few more miles. I think I can get a couple more days without getting back to the Word of God to fill up, to fuel up spiritually in my life. And we pass it off and put it off and say, well, things aren't that bad yet. I'll see if I can go a little further. How many times do we do that? Say, I don't have any big blowouts lately. I think I'm okay. Things aren't blowing up disaster in my life. I think I can make it a little longer. And then all of a sudden, the blow up happens and we think, man, I need to get serious and get back in the Word of God. I need to get back to my prayer time and get close to God again. How come we don't do that before the disaster happens? Why don't we come to God every day and get a little checkup and say, God, I want your help today. I'm gonna top it off. How about we top it off instead of run on empty? Say, God, I need your help to fill it up today because I want to stay as far away from danger as possible. Eventually, it's going to catch up to you. How about we hit the reset button in our life, spiritually speaking, in our Bible and our prayer time and say, God, is my Bible and prayer time what it should be? I don't know about you, but I'm always challenged with my Bible and prayer time and think, God, I can always do more. I could always spend more time with you. But how precious is that time alone with God and where it's just you and God and the Word of God and prayer. And you say, God, would you speak to my heart today because I need you. And God speaks to your heart and you get to speak with God. And God helps you in your life for that day. May we not be living solely on the bread that fills our bodies, but may we fill up spiritually on the Word of God and our prayer and our walk with God before we run on empty, before we start heading to that disaster. May we say, God, would you help me to keep right on track? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Let's hang on every word of God every day. Not just to start the day, but throughout the day. Say, God, I need you today. Heads bowed and eyes closed. We'll have an invitation time.